Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
After this morning, I've got a request for you. I want more Donnie Clown Show TikToks.
You know, I kind of love TikTok. I never had TikTok before we started the Same Team TikTok. And now every time I log in, there's something like the Donnie Clown Show and the Elon Musk fire sale happening. I love it. I love it.
When I heard Donnie Clown Show, I'm glad I wasn't drinking a beverage, because I definitely would have just like,
I do miss the days of like sharing that stuff more. Now it's like more passive. Like you just share memes and Instagram, like behind right. the scenes and messages. It's less like dropping them into a Slack. We need to do more of that. That's fun.
Yeah. And that and my friend Andy's Ned's Wet Deli.
Yeah. So good. Oh,
when he first shared that, I thought that was actually a commercial that he produced, because he does that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, deli meats in a tank, I guess. Right. Yeah. It took me a while to be like, oh, wait, this is
so funny. Yeah. Deli meats and wet deli meats. And then it's like, when I realized it wasn't real was when he started talking about wet bread. So funny.
Same. I was like, wait, stuff. What? Anyway, that's so good. All right, well, let's kick things off with our huddle. What's been on the top of your mind this week?
Presentations. Given some keynotes this week. So I presented at Operations Summit on Tuesday. I presented for One Plan today. And I also had an Agile Network panel this week about AI and project management. So I've been all over the place. It's been
star
a lot
of stage
presenting.
And screen.
Yes. Big old toothy grin.
For me, I'm thinking about next month. We're going to kick off our events, and we'll talk more about this, but we're going to do our first huddle, which is like a group call, group event. And I've been thinking about that, been thinking about how excited I am to, bring other people in and start talking to them and just see what's on their mind.
Yeah. Speaking of speaking.
Yes.
It's going to be a good time. But we're not going to like talk at people. We're going to have conversations with people. But we're also thinking about a format that makes it similar to this, in that we've got like time boxed agendas and make it like energizing and fun. So more on that soon. Let's get into the review. So before we get into this week's big topic, want to mention that we have, of course, two Team Angle articles out this week, both on culture. One is Navigating Collaborative Conflict, How to Turn Tension into Progress, and then Embracing Conflict for Stronger Collaboration. So I think the idea here is conflict is not always a bad thing. And if you have a culture that accepts that, you can thrive because of it. So let's get into your opinion column on Same Page. So this week you published Deloitte Made It Official, Build Your Own Damn Culture. Tell us what it's all about.
Yeah. So I came across the consulting, gigantic firm, Deloitte had produced their 2025 Human Capital Trends, which was new to me. And kind of digging in, I found this report from last year that talks about how top-down culture doesn't work, and that, that trying to essentially box everybody into the same way of working and the same culture is just not a good fit for teams. The teams need a little bit of their own autonomy. So, we talk about systems like Safe Agile. If you don't know what that is, don't look it up. Entrepreneur Operating System, and just Agile in general. We've talked about this. We were even on the Agile show and talked about this, right? About how these things just they don't necessarily really work from team to team to team. And oftentimes, you know, trying to put some, it's almost kind of like trying to get into a boat of almost like autopilot. But what we're doing is we're killing trust, autonomy, and any chance, any real chance of the team thriving. And, right. You know, you and I, we've talked about this a lot. We've seen it firsthand. This, to me, a version of this story is actually the spark that began Same Team Partners.
It's so true. I thought the same thing. It was kind of like an eye-opening moment for me that was like, here we go again, another big organization talking about the thing we've been talking about for a year. Not that we had the idea first or that we saw it coming. It's just kind of what we believe in core to our DNA. Like I hate the idea. I love all those tools and frameworks and systems. I hate the idea of forcing them in a spot where they don't make sense.
Yeah. And especially when there's, you know, very little to no solid onboarding of, right. Like, you know, I've talked about EOS too, about how we know teams that spend a ton of money on that and weren't able to actually implement it because they didn't really understand what they were buying. But more importantly, the culture was just like pushed it out. Like, this is not who we are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this whole idea of forming cultures, not that you can't have company culture, but every team needs to have you know, some level of its own culture, right? Because mm-hmm. of all the individuals that make up that team. And we can't have this like monoculture that exists from team to team. Team Angle is our response to this, in that we can, and we have helped other teams, other small companies improve their culture without saying, this is the one way. You know, like any of the work we do is not a one and done. It's more of, let's see how you guys tick, what makes you work, what doesn't, and then let's create a culture according to, you know, right. what really drives you and motivates you. So it was good to see Deloitte having talked about it. I wish I'd seen this back in 2024. And obviously, you know, near and dear to our hearts, I couldn't say no to bringing this up, supporting it, but also to add our own you know, 2 cents to it. So
love it.
I'm curious, question for you is, in your mind, what's the real cost of trying to scale culture using rigid systems?
Oh, I mean, I think it just doesn't make sense. I think attempting to scale culture, which is the light and fluffy side of things, human side of things, with rigid systems is like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Like it just doesn't work. So I think that kind of inflexibility probably stifles innovation, probably frustrates people, and feels like it could lead to an exodus. It's like you're not trying to create robots at an organization, right? Like you're trying to have a more dynamic environment. So I don't know. To me, it feels like a culture that can't just adapt without some system, some like rigid system to follow, is a culture that's not going to last anyway, or like a culture that needs a lot more work and thought. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. It just came to mind. You and I we did some work with a really, really, really tiny agency a few years back. Mm-hmm. And we were auditing the company and how they operated, right? And down to like break schedules every day.
Oh wow, right? I forgot about that.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And I bring it up because it's like this, what we're talking about doesn't happen only at big corporations or companies.
Right. Right.
Right. Like this was a company of like I think like 4 or 5 people. And it was really weird but insane to think like how micromanaged those people were. And mm-hmm. and to the point that that studio had gotten to the point where they had no room to move, to innovate, and to change anything that they did mm-hmm. because they had mapped out everything down to the last minute, mm-hmm. right? And so without they just couldn't move without adding more people, without hiring or something like. So it's kind of insane what the costs can be for a rigid system like that.
Absolutely.
So on that point, what do you think it is about microcultures that executives, it makes them nervous and they, I guess we'll leave it at that. Makes them nervous.
In a word, control, right? I think executives fear microcultures, or the ones who do fear microcultures. Mm-hmm. I think they fear like autonomy, right? They fear the things that are going to challenge that top down control that they want.
Challenge them.
Yeah. Their authority. I think it's unsettling for leaders to think that different teams might develop like their own ways of working that don't align perfectly with what their corporate playbook says it should be. But the whole thing is like, the thing that's funny about that to me is microcultures are the ones that drive the innovation and the engagement that companies strive for. Like, we saw that happen at HappyCog. We saw those when we built out teams, we saw these microcultures develop and how those teams, the way that they engaged and collaborated was different across the board. The way that they experienced like process was different, but there was so much innovation that came out of that. It's like, why would you possibly stop that? It was great all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like, how can I just feed this fire?
Mm-hmm.
So what's one, and from what you've seen, your experience, what's one sign that a team's culture is being shaped by like a top down, a default instead of from within?
Yeah. I mean, I think shaped by default instead of by design. It's kind of that thing where I would liken it to meetings, right? Like, or meetings, like when a meeting starts to feel like repetitive, when it's like a Groundhog Day meeting, right? It's repetitive, it's uninspired, it's lacking direction. People are showing up, but it doesn't feel like you're really doing anything, or people are questioning why you're there. It's a clear sign that thing's on autopilot, right? So
yep.
I think if you feel like you're on autopilot, no one's questioning the status quo, no one's pushing for improvement, then you've got a culture that's formed by default, right? Like, it's just happening to you. You're not shaping it.
It's scheduled.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's like that default setting. It's not
often. Yeah. As I was asking that question, I had very similar thought of like repetitive, right? And just showing up like it's Monday, we do this. Tuesday, we do this, as opposed to like, well, why?
Right.
Or to your point, like having ideas for, hey, let's do this better, right? In some way. 100% with that.
I guess that's last question. When people seem bored, I'm sorry, really quick. When good. People mm-hmm. seem bored and disengaged, they are.
Yep.
So it's time to like shake it up and figure out what will make them not bored.
Or that's a good point. If your team's on screens, you know, if you're on Zoom and you're looking down or away or off, you know, you're right. They don't speak up, right? Because there's just nothing happening. Yeah, zombie culture, right? That's like default zombie culture.
That's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to put it.
So, last question: what role should leaders play in shaping their microculture? Right, where do they fit in the racy for this.
Right. So it's not like with a microculture, like a leader should just be totally hands off, right? I think that a leader can act more like a gardener than an architect, right? Meaning like provide the right environment, the resources, the support, and then let that step back and kind of see those cultures grow organically, right?
Yeah.
It's about nurturing that kind of like diversity and thought and approach, and not enforcing this like one size fits all. We must do it the way that leadership says. No, I think the most vibrant gardens are those that have a lot of different kinds of flowers and plants and things growing at different times in different rows and formations. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I think to add to your metaphor is gardeners still have to plant a seed.
Mm,
right. And like, 'cause I feel that it's not the intent to, like, you know, plant it and then shape it while it's coming out of the ground or whatever it does. But I do feel like there needs to be some kind of prompt or provocation or something just to get people to try something different.
Yep.
Because even if you just said, hey, let's go, you've got autonomy, I trust you, make things, that can also be a bit of a disaster.
It can, right? Absolutely.
So I like the metaphor of guiding and supporting, you know, shaping from a distance, but still, you know, there to kind of keep it professional.
Yeah, lots of ways to extend that metaphor with, you know, pruning and kind of like shaping things, right? Keeping things on the right path, like not letting things overgrow, right?
Right.
But keeping things organized anyway.
Should we kick off a metaphor marathon or move on?
I think we should move on. I'm sorry.
Okay. So this week's ask, what are we asking our beautiful listeners to do this week for us?
Cue the Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah.
Just kidding. All right. This week, we are once again, Bernie Sanders, once again asking you to subscribe.
Once again.
Yes. Once again, I'm asking you to subscribe to our award-winning, not quite,
yes,
newsletter, Field Report. I think we are coming up on our fourth issue. So
yeah,
get in while it's early. Get on the Woo-hoo. Ground floor. Mm-hmm. Go to sameteampartners.com/subscribe to get on the list. Please and thank you.
Yes. And tell all your friends and your family. Just sign them up.
You don't have to do that. Anyway, let's get into the hit list. What are you watching this week?
So this... Sorry, Tacoma's finest
police is... activity going on.
Yeah, what's up? This week, I watched a movie from 1999, Mel Gibson in Payback, which is a movie made from a kind of a crime noir series that was written back in the 60s. So it's just a movie that didn't get enough, I think, enough credibility, and it was fun to watch it again.
Okay. We're going to have a conversation about Mel Gibson later, but...
Yeah. This is before he went Captain Crazy. This is,
sure,
you know, 1999, sure.
My watching this week is something that I haven't watched yet, but I'm excited to watch because I keep seeing it promoted, and I really like Seth Rogen. It's the Studio, his new show, and I just read a review that it's, like, really, like, the funniest show of the year. So I'm stoked to watch that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. I read his book. Like, I'm a big fan.
Nice. My next is listening. I'm going to butcher this. Actually, I'm not. I'm just going to go with, it's an in-store spinning DJ session at a record shop in Paris, I believe. And it's a session with Tomoki Tamara. And I like all these sessions, like, subscribe to the channel. But this one in particular was really good. And I ripped it from YouTube. I'm not going to lie.
Awesome. Love that. My listening this week is 10 Days by Fred Again. I don't know if you know Fred Again. I feel as though I may have put this on my hit list before.
You've had Fred Again in here, maybe.
Yeah. It's a good one.
It's repeatable. Like it. It's good.
Check it out. It's like house music-ish. Yeah.
My last one for this week is reading, and I picked up Dave Gray's Liminal Thinking.
Oh.
And it's a book that he actually, his publisher sent it to me 10 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really understand what I was reading at the time. And what I mean by that is I read it, I went through it, and I was like, okay, this is good. And I don't know if it was just I was younger or what, but reading it this time around, highly recommend this, especially with everything that's going on right now. It's not a book about living in the now. It's more of checking your biases that are based upon belief systems that you kind of picked up along the way, you know, as a kid. So super, super interesting book.
Yep. That's a Rosenfeld Media book. I have one of those on my bookshelf. Yep. I'm gonna have to grab that too. Awesome. Well, my reading is just an article, and I'm still on this, like, annoyed at the whole Doge thing. So there's this article I found. FDA staff left scrambling to complete product reviews after Doge layoffs. It's just more of this, like, inefficiency with the quote-unquote efficiency department. It's just unbelievable to me. So I just, I don't know. It's the one thing that just is, like, really driving me nuts in all of this, because it's like, so it hits home, I guess, for some reason, in a lot of different ways. Like, obviously there's a lot more issues that I'm annoyed by, but this one is like, this is the one that, like, I have ideas scrambling around in my head about more articles to write.
You don't like Easy Elon?
The fire sale.
Yep. Easy Elon's train wreck. Anyway. All right. So, let's kick off the weekend with a high five. What are we celebrating this week?
So we decided that we are high-fiving the folks who are advocates for building unique work cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that we have those people in place. And honestly, like, I think you and I, a lot with Team Angle, we've been talking about how culture really does start with every individual. So it can be anyone. You can be a leader, you can be a team member. If you're inspired to become a part and to actively build and design the culture of the team or the company you're on, high five.
Yeah, high five. And I will add to that, I have seen some of the best cultures come from not the leader, mm-hmm. but like the lowest person on the totem pole, if you want to call it that, like the person you would least suspect, right, as a cultural leader. So that's all to say, it really can come from anywhere, and celebrate it when it happens. So high five on that. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Enjoy. Talk to you next week. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Brett and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and send them a review. Thank you.